Today I'm discussing endothelial cell dysfunction, Peyronie's disease, and the pivotal role of nitric oxide in sexual health. I'll share insights on innovative treatments, the significance of a healthy prostate, and what easy, healthy lifestyle choices you can make today to increase your sexual vitality. I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Give Me an E, the show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Give me an E! I really appreciate you guys really, tuning in and asking questions and being, being transparent about it. Because whether you're Black, white, Asian, Kenyan, what have you, you know, this is something that affects everybody. Men's health is everywhere because there are men everywhere. So it's an honor to be here. And I thank you for trusting me with this process. So we got a variety of questions here. One has to do with Peyronie's disease, so we'll talk a little bit about that. The first one that I do want to play for you, though, comes from a gentleman who is, you know, still in work mode and asking away, and I love this.
Good morning, Dr. Rachel. My name is Arthur. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And my question to you is this. Oh, first, let me start off by saying I really appreciate your videos. You're very helpful. Think you're wonderful. I'm very helpful for the community. Thank you. My question is, can I reverse the endothelial dysfunction? I started exercising. Right. I have changed my diet a little. And my routine is a lot different now. But I'm wondering, what is your take on reversing and maybe getting control of the endothelial dysfunction?
Great question.
Is it a lot of pumping? Is it medic? Is it, would I be the one?
I noticed when he said, is it a lot of pumping? You know, his face just got to the point where he's like, please don't tell me that's what I have to do. But let's talk about it.
Or I just have medication. Or I don't truly understand, but I'm pretty sure, amazing as you are, you know the answer to this. My name is Arthur. I appreciate you and answer at your earliest convenience. Thank you.
Awesome, Arthur. I love it. So thank you, Arthur, for sending that question in, because I think a lot of people are wondering the exact same thing. So let's first just dive into what is endothelial cell dysfunction. So basically, every blood vessel in your body is lined with something called the endothelium, which are basically cells that decide how healthy these blood vessels are going to be. So endothelial cell dysfunction is something that the majority of us will run into at some point in our lives. It's fueled by inflammation, so different foods that we're eating. It's fueled by inactivity, so not moving as much. And really, when we want to think about repairing it, first of all, we've got to fix what caused it in the first place, right? So in Arthur's situation, probably some of it has to do with diet. Some of it has to do with him working so hard that he's probably not exercising. Another part is that working and supporting family, you know, it can be stressful. So stress can be a part of that. So we want to try to manage all of that. We want to look at your blood sugar. How can we get your blood sugar regulated? How can we get the foods that are in there that are packed with antioxidants? That's what people are doing with the smoothie recipes. But also, taking it one step further, what can we do to repair and kind of enhance your body's ability to make nitric oxide? Because we talk about nitric oxide in terms of erectile strength, but actually nitric oxide is such an amazing molecule that it is responsible for our immune function. It is responsible for blood flow, our blood pressure. And honestly, over time, when we look at it, every decade of life, our bodies are making less and less nitric oxide. So honestly, one of the best things that you can do to start to repair the endothelium and the lining of your blood vessels is to support your nitric oxide pathway. And what I mean by that is there's two different pathways, two different ways you can support your body's ability to make nitric oxide. And the first way that you can do that is by supplementing things like L-citrulline or L-arginine, right? These are part of the pathway that our body uses to make nitric oxide. But there's a very special other way that we're doing it. So as we age, that pathway that I just mentioned, the L-arginine and L-citrulline pathway, our body's ability to use that pathway decreases as we age. So in your 20s and 30s and maybe even 40s, taking L-citrulline and L-arginine to boost nitric oxide production likely helps and works. But as you start to age 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, that pathway is really hard. We can pump in L-arginine and L-citrulline all day long, and it might not make any difference because the endothelium might not know what to do with all of that, right? Your body might not process that well enough. So with that being the case, our next step is to focus on things we can do, right? The other pathway of nitric oxide production comes from what we eat, what we're ingesting orally. So this goes back to our conversation around mouthwash. This goes back to our conversation around increasing green leafy vegetables and nitrate-rich foods, because we're not just theoretically saying this. There's science to back up the fact that the minute that you ingest green leafy vegetables or nitrate-rich food, if your body can process that and reduce it to nitrites and absorb it in your body, well, bam, now we have more substances for your body to make nitric oxide, which then causes a repair of the elasticity of your blood vessels. It causes basically that whole concept of endothelial cell dysfunction. Now we're starting to function again. So I see it all the time where I have guys who come in and pretty much the medication that they've started with has stopped, whether that's Viagra, whether it's the Trimix, whether that's the gas station pill, what have you. And honestly, with those guys, sometimes the biggest thing is nitric oxide production. If we can get the endothelial cells back functioning, the blood vessels back healthier, then everything changes. Not just the erections change, but hypertension goes down. We have better control over diabetes. We lose weight quicker, and so on and so forth. But also a part of that, getting your endothelial cells back repaired, if you're a gentleman and you're aging, is making sure your testosterone levels are good. Because when your testosterone levels dip down, also this contributes to this process of endothelial cell dysfunction and our body's inability to make nitric oxide. Now, the interesting thing about nitric oxide production is that in women and men, hey, everybody needs it. If we could boost everybody's nitric oxide levels right now, today, I bet you some of you would come off of blood pressure medicine. Some of you would feel great. Your wrinkles would start to go away. Nitric oxide is really that important. And there's nothing that you can take to just give you nitric oxide. You really have to try to support your body's ability to make more nitric oxide. And that's essential to this process of endothelial cell repair. So if you want to repair your endothelium, you have to stop smoking. You have to stop drinking. That's a big thing. You got to cut down on processed foods and eat more natural organic foods, right? We got to cut out the sugary drinks. We got to move more. And I think a big thing that we don't talk about enough is you got to get at least 6.5 hours of sleep a night. Yes, at least 6.5 hours of sleep at night, so that your body has the opportunity to regenerate. So sleep and rest, you know, we abuse it a little bit, but that is the time during the day that your body is designed to repair itself. Yeah. This great thing that God gave us is designed to really heal itself, and it cannot heal itself. It cannot do its job if it doesn't have rest. And when we talk sometimes about intermittent fasting and fasting, that's partially why fasting can be so powerful for some people, because you're putting your body into this rest state so that your body doesn't have to decide what to do with food. Your body doesn't have to decide to do with the stress of somebody yelling at you, or it doesn't have to decide what to do about something you saw on social media. It is absolutely resting. So I say that to say that you got to get enough rest when it comes to repairing anything. Okay. So that's a great question. I have some great other questions. One question is about Peyronie's disease. So we'll get to that one. And another question, let me pull it up here. Okay. Doctor, when I masturbate, clear liquid comes first. Then when I ejaculate sperm, it flows out really slowly. Is this normal for someone at my age of 71? So this is a great question, but I want to caution you, it's not whether it's normal because of your age. It might be normal because of what's going on with you and your prostate and your pelvic floor. Because the prostate, as it starts to enlarge and it gets larger, and every decade of life, we find that the average gentleman's prostate is swelling significantly. By the age of 71, you likely have an enlarged prostate. Now, the issue with the prostate being enlarged, and let me see if I can put a picture up here, is that when the prostate is actually enlarged like that, unfortunately, we have pathways or pipes that course through the prostate that are designed to deliver the ejaculate to the urethra, or the tube that urine comes out of and that's supposed to shoot out. Now, the prostate, I want you to think of it almost like a rubber band. It's supposed to snap back and propel fluid out. But if the prostate is enlarged, if it's weakened, if those ducts or the pipes that run through there, the ejaculatory ducts, if those are clogged, if the seminal vesicle, the one that makes, you know, depending on the gentleman, 30 to 70% of that fluid that comes out, if any of that is weakened, damaged, then that snapback doesn't happen. And instead of it shooting out like it did when you were in your 20s, it kind of just slowly sludges out. So one of the best things that you can do as a 71-year-old, or at any age, when you're starting to notice that your ejaculate isn't, you know, flowing out the way you want it to, is to really scale back and start to strengthen your prostate by asking your doctor to check your prostate. How enlarged is it? At this point in your 70s, it's not, is it enlarged? It's how enlarged is my prostate at this point? Then when you get the answer, then you ask your doctor, say, okay, doc, what do you recommend? Most doctors will recommend some medication. And if you are like thousands of other men, millions of other men, and don't really want to take medication, there are a variety of herbal supplements that can help support your prostate. But honestly, one of the best things that I've found for the prostate at the stage where it's enlarged and it's causing a little bit of sludge when it comes to your ejaculate, it's just not shooting out like you want it to, is a prostate massage. And centuries ago, this was practiced by cultures who really are into male stamina and virility. Because what they realized early on is that through prostatic massage or prostate massage, that they could help cure erectile dysfunction. They could help cure prostate issues. They could help cure prostatitis. They could help strengthen ejaculate. So it was a way to keep men as potent as possible. Because remember, in some cultures, you know, men are having babies all the way up into their 90s, or until old age in ancient times. And what they would do for these guys who were in powerful positions is they were massaging prostates. They had a whole male massage protocol where they're massaging the genitals, they're massaging the testicles, they're massaging the prostate, all to get blood flow, to clog out, to clear out any clogged up areas there, and to kind of help promote blood flow. So one of the things that anyone with a swollen prostate should ask, or prostatitis, or anything that's not painful at the moment, and particularly not prostate cancers, is to ask your physician, is it okay for me to massage your prostate? And then once you get over yourself and get over the fact that that there are two ways to massage your prostate, either outside or inside. And once you get over thinking that that's a disgusting area, you can actually really do great things with prostate. With a prostate massager. As a matter of fact, my ultimate stiffness bundle, as a free gift, I give a prostate massager and cock rings because I'm so convinced that those are the two things that every man should have at some point in their life in order to just age gracefully. So that's one thing that you've got to think about when you're thinking about how can I get this to shoot out a little more? How it's slowed down, I'm making less of it. One, you got to hydrate, but really take care of your prostate because, you know, we don't really talk about much what the prostate is for, but the prostate's main purpose is to provide lubricant and to give fluid to the sperm and the ejaculate as it comes out. But the one part that we don't talk about is it's important for that snap back. You got to, it snaps out. And so if the prostate is enlarged or boggy or weakened or not functioning properly, then the ejaculate won't come out like you want it to either. Great questions. Nice. Am I Kenyan? I'm not Kenyan, but I've been to Kenya and it was one of the most amazing trips I've ever been on. The people were so kind and the country was so beautiful. So thank you for asking that. That's a compliment. All right. Dr. Rachel, my girlfriend has run away. I have an enlarged prostate, but can't function. I even know the guy doing her. Oh. Well, I hate to hear that. And I'm sorry. You know, first I'm going to say that's her loss. All right. And then let's deal with the fact that well, now we can't call her your girlfriend because she left you. And unfortunately, when I hear these stories and I hear it a lot, you guys are trying to get the girl back, right? But honestly, I think anybody who leaves you for any reason at all, particularly because you can't get stiff, it's a good reason to move forward and never look back. So let's not look back and think about how we can get her back, but let's think about how we can get your erectile function back. Now, when you have an enlarged prostate, let me see if I can show you this picture. So when you have an enlarged prostate, there is a specific reason why we're starting to see erectile issues when the prostate is enlarged like that. So there's a lot of controversy. We talk about this and we talk about that as to why exactly is it that it happens. But the prostate, and we really don't spend any energy on it. The prostate sits on a bed of nerves that we call a neurovascular bundle. It's nerves and blood vessels. And it sits there. And if the prostate actually starts to enlarge upon itself, it's actually applying some pressure to this area where very important nerves are coursing through. These nerves are so important that eventually they're going to turn into what's called the cavernosal nerves. The cavernosal nerves are responsible for getting an erection. Plain and simple, they are the most important thing for getting the erection. Now, they're not the most important when it comes to keeping an erection, but in order to get one, these nerves have to be functioning. So if the prostate is enlarged and stretching and compressing on those nerves, oftentimes we end up with a little bit of nerve damage. And I really would love to show you a picture, a little bit of nerve damage there. Not just that, but also as the prostate grows and takes up space, it can actually imagine a tube and then having something heavy sitting on it. The tube is a blood vessel, and the heavy thing sitting on it is the prostate. So if the prostate is enlarged and pressing down on the tube I'm talking about are actually blood vessels. Now you've got decreased blood flow through the blood vessels that are supposed to make it to the erection. So having an enlarged prostate is not just a downer when it comes to urinary function, like getting up at night to urinate. You know, rushing to the bathroom, maybe dribbling afterwards, having trouble releasing all of the urine that's there. So not only is that the issue, but also we start to run into an issue with it interfering with the blood flow and the nerve function of your erections. So we have to really focus some time and energy on how do we naturally slow down the size of the prostate spreading like that. One thing we know is that guys who have low testosterone actually fuels prostate growth. And, you know, you'll hear it all types of ways. They'll say DHT is causing prostate growth, and that may be true, but low T fuels prostate growth. But also the big thing that's fueling prostate growth is inflammation. So how can you decrease the inflammation in your body? How can we boost nitric oxide? And slow down the growth of the prostate, but also how can we potentially shrink it some? Of course, there's some medications that claim that they'll do that, but unfortunately, some of the medications have as a side effect ED. So the compliance rate is low on that. So one of the things that I like to do with my patients who are having prostate issues, we get it cleared by the urologist, making sure that there's no cancer there. We incorporate sometimes a little bit of daily Cialis in there, like the 2.5 milligrams. Always do nitric oxide boosting. The brand that I really like, but it's a professional brand and you can only really get it from your doctors, are Berkeley Life. They've got an amazing supplement that actually helps boost nitric oxide through the oral pathway. Human In, they have one that's really good, Neopro 40. And so we always want to try to boost nitric oxide production in the process. But what can we do to decrease inflammation? One thing you got to do, you got to get your blood sugar under control. That's a big thing. High blood sugar, insulin resistance fuels prostate growth. So we got to come off of the prostate food. We have to come off of the processed foods. We got to eat a more natural diet. And we really got to focus on ways to decrease inflammation. We got to start exercising some, moving blood, getting the circulation up, but also moving decreases inflammation as well. And then sometimes it's a matter of taking some supplements that decrease inflammation. Now, I'm careful about talking to you about supplements because everybody's different. I can have one guy come in on some turmeric or curcumin, and the next guy come in and I'll figure out that he's allergic to it or it's fueling inflammation. So the stuff you see all the time saying, oh, take this, take this, take this, you got to understand that everybody's different. And if you start taking something and you don't feel good and you're not feeling good 3 days in, 4 days in, that's probably not the supplement for you. Now, sometimes what can happen, particularly with magnesium, like say you're listening to me and you know I advocate for guys taking magnesium. You take magnesium, you take, say you take 800 milligrams today and tomorrow you're exhausted. You're like, woo, I don't know what Dr. Rachel was talking about. That stuff has wiped me out. Really what's happening with the magnesium is that you've been so depleted and low on magnesium that now that your body is seeing magnesium, it has sucked it all up and it's just trying to do what it's supposed to do. So with magnesium in particular, when we start to supplement it, I always ask guys to try to start it maybe on the weekend or on days where they don't have to, it's okay if they're tired the next day, because you're going to get a little bit of fatigue there. Because remember, magnesium, sometimes we give it at bedtime because it will make you a little sleepy. It will make your bowels go. It will soften things up, but it's also implicated in about 300 different processes in your body. That's how important magnesium is. I get the question all the time, Dr. Rachel, why give me an E? And it all goes back to the fact that if you live long enough in this industrialized world that we live in some way, shape, or form, you're going to have a little bit of an erectile issue. Now, so for me, this started years ago back in Gary, Indiana. And now to be able to be in this space where I can take this information and share it with men all over the world and get these emails and these comments about how fantastic things are going, that is why I do this work. So if you're enjoying Give Me an E, if you've gotten something out of the podcast, I want you to share it with someone that you think. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do in a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. Now, this next message comes from Dennis Packer, and it is packed with amazing stuff. Dr. Rach, your suggestions and open forums and philosophy led to an amazing night. Soon will not forget. I hope these descriptions of my life actions do not get censored. After dinner, 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, I snuck on my wife and started massaging and scratching her back. She got so excited that she went into the bedroom and put on a fishnet bodysuit and enticed me to the bedroom. After heavy kissing, hot body wax, and messaging me, we transitioned to hugging and more kissing. Listen, I love this foreplay he's talking about. Before long, I caressed and kissed her in between her legs, and we hugged even more. After 20 minutes, she gave me an external and internal prostate massage using internal and external devices. I was amazed at how she responded. It was unbelievable and rocked me. More hugging and kissing, and it was sure ecstasy. It's been several months since we made love, and never this good. I could barely walk. I think I know now what an orgasm feels like. A night I will cherish for days to come. It's now 2 hours later. Thanks for giving me the confidence to go forth. P.S. Happy holidays. Go forth and prosper, Dennis. Thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. The details are in the show notes. Okay, I'm Chris, a 50-plus male. Due to the fact that I've lost my testicles over a rare form of testicular cancer, and now I'm going through a difficult time with sexual contact. Now, your situation is a little different, Jersey Mac, because one, you've got to have the conversation with your partners in advance about, okay, I don't have a testicle, and here's what's happening. So that's one thing. That's one reason to try to focus on partners that you like and that you have some type of relationship with, because they're obviously going to be more understanding of that than anything. Now, once cancers are gone, once your prostate cancer is gone, once testicular cancer is gone, you always want to ask your doctor, can I pump? Now, I cannot reiterate enough how many studies and just practical stories I have about pumping, helping with this rejuvenation process. So everything that we talk about, whether we're talking about the P-shot, whether we're talking about Botox or Botox, whether we're talking about the P-shot, whether we're talking about the Phoenix, whether we're talking about in-office shockwave, pumping always goes with this, right? Because it is one of the original forms of rejuvenation, right? Now, one of the things that you have to do when you're trying to reintroduce intimacy after something like a testicular cancer has come through, is that you want to relearn your body. You want to relearn your body and teach your body to your partner. So what I mean by relearn your body is spend a little time masturbating, actually, figuring out, whether it's something you're listening to, something you're watching that turns you on, figuring out how you like to be touched, what's painful, what's not, what's pleasurable. And really, it becomes very important now to tell your partner about what that is. Tell them what turns you on. See, as we go through life, and you, this may be you, we all have partners that we're having sex with that maybe just aren't doing it like we like them to, right? And we sit there and sex goes and it comes and it's great sometimes and other times it's not. And you know that if you tweaked this one little thing about it, it could actually be much better. Right? Maybe if he or she moaned more, it would be better. Like, they're just laying there. Well, okay, how can I get them to moan more? So when you figure out your ultimate turn-ons, whether it's because you're going back in your mental Rolodex to the time you had some of the best sex ever, or whether it's because you are you're masturbating and looking at something, the same scene over and over again. Those of you who like adult movies, you know, you fast forward to your favorite parts, right? So whatever those favorite parts are, either in your brain or on the screen, you have to convey that to your partners so that you guys can try to emulate that. Because up until now, into your 30s and stuff, of not being fully turned on was okay. You know, like, okay, this isn't the best thing, but I can still fake it till I make it. What happens as you start to age a little bit is it's harder to fake it. It kind of really has to be enjoyable, and it has to be a major turn on in order to get you turned on. So one, you've got to communicate with your partner about what really gets you going, right? And then you also have to communicate about what could be painful. When they touch your other testicle, is that pleasurable or is that painful? So having these difficult conversations before sex makes it so that during sex is better. And then after sex, you just like any other major performance, you talk about it, you critique it, say, well, that was great. That was amazing. But next time, let's try such and such, right? So this becomes an ongoing dialogue about how sex can get better, how you can integrate new things in, try new things, maybe bring a vibrator in, try things that maybe weren't your thing before, but now can potentially be the thing that helps push you to getting turned on. For guys who can't get an erection, you know, you take something and still can't get one, vibration really helps. So if your partner has a vibrator, or if you have one, taking a vibrator and just holding it on your erection and trying to cover as much of it as possible can help create a stiff erection or a stiffer erection. Now, for those of you who are telling me that, you know, I don't get as stiff as I used to and so on and so forth, pumping can help you bring that back. Pumping can help you bring the stiffness back. But you also have to repair the blood vessels, because pumping can help grow new blood vessels. Shockwave can help grow new blood vessels. The P shot can help grow new blood vessels. But the integrity of those blood vessels is what's most important, right? If we're growing diseased blood vessels right back, then it's not going to be as helpful as if we're growing and regenerating these blood vessels, because we have on board really quality nitric oxide production. We have low inflammation in our body. We're moving, we're exercising, and bam. Awesome. Blessed to Fish just started pumping. Awesome. How are you doing, Doc? I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing even better now that I know you've gotten your pump and you are getting started on that. This is great. And then I got some questions too about jelking, because I mentioned it the other day. So jelking, what is jelking? Jelking is a process where you're actually, you know, kind of in a firm manner, massaging your penis towards the head to kind of redistribute blood flow to different areas. And the big question about jelking is, Dr. Rachel, is jelking dangerous? Can it be dangerous? Well, I want to be clear that anytime any type of pressure, or whether it's a pump or a person or your hand is involved, there's potential for injury, right? I have plenty of guys who come in and maybe had rough sex and they've had pain in their penis ever since, and they feel like they've broken it, right? There's no bone in it, so they didn't break it, but they definitely have damaged it. So everybody's a little different when it comes to jelking. Everybody's a little different when it comes to pumping. I mean, so I do want to be very clear that some of you may pump and you might decide, you know, you have bruising. So bruising is a normal part of pumping. But if you start to notice that you're having blood in your urine or you're bleeding, that is a sign that you need to stop and make sure that your doctor knows what's going on. Because pumping and jelking and really even having sex, all of those can actually cause some type of hematoma or even pain in certain senses, in certain instances. So you do want to be mindful of that fact. But I love to hear that you just started pumping, because now what you're doing is you are intentionally, you're putting intention on this process of erectile function. And I think up until recently, we were under the impression that, you know, your penis stays and your erection just sits there and it's just going to work and it's just going to do its thing. But now we know that it needs to get a little form of exercise, just like everything else. If you're going through a spell of abstinence and you're saving yourself for marriage and you're a little older, then you still want to be actively using your penis, whether it's with your hand, whether you're pumping. You need to actively be getting erections, because listen, if you're not getting erections, your body will forget how to do it. Your penis will go to sleep and think that it was just designed to just sit there. And so you got to remind it sometimes. This is great. Michael, you do that exercise I told you to do. Awesome. Well, tell me, how's it going? How's it going? You're doing what I call a dick up, right? Or a PC flex, where you're actually squeezing that muscle that we hold when we're going to urinate. You know, you go to pee, someone's calling your name, you're trying to hear them, so you stop the stream, or someone's coming in, you're about to let one go, you're about to pass gas, you decide not to. That muscle, you're holding it. and you're letting it max out, and then you're holding it again and again, and letting it max out. That's amazing, because that helps support the pelvic floor, and that helps provide prostate strength. And actually, that is a miniature form of prostate massage, believe it or not. So that's ultimately why it sometimes helps with urinary function as well, because we're supporting the pelvic floor. We're doing a bit of a prostatic massage, because those muscles are tensing up and just kind of, you know, pulsing on the prostate. So it just does amazing things. I'm approaching ED from both pathways. Is there a third pathway? This is a great question. And when you're talking about the different pathways, we got to think about nerve function. We got to think about blood flow. We got to think about our hormones. We got to think about what's happening in relationship wise. Because I always say, one of my first questions to guys is, okay, you're having trouble with your erection. Is it with every partner that you have? Is it with yourself when you're just looking at porn? Is it just with one specific partner? You know, because all of that helps give us intel as to whether or not there's a particular issue with sex with a particular person, whether it's a relationship issue. So that's a big part of it too. But honestly, getting to the bottom of what caused your erectile function in the first place. So you're talking about two pathways, but we also have to think about the prostate. How's your prostate size doing? Even if your prostate is mildly enlarged and it happens to be enlarged in the wrong spaces, that can be causing issues with erectile function. So we've got blood flow, we got nerve flow, nerve function. We've got psychological stuff that's going on. You want to look at your medications. Could your medications be interfering with it? Are you taking allergy medicine? If you take allergy medicine, then 100% that could be interfering with it. Blood pressure medicine can be interfering with it. The beta blockers, calcium channel blockers. If you have the option when it comes to blood pressure medicine, ACE inhibitors have the least effect on your erections. You know, medication for depression can interfere with it. So what's going on in terms of your medications too? And then I want you to also look at your diet. Are you off of processed food? Are you eating kind of a natural-based diet? Are you eating from the earth as much as possible? When I say from the earth, are you eating basically, you know, meat and veggies as much as you possibly can, some grains here and there? And then, of course, honestly, I always look at gut function, too. How is gut function? Are you constipated a lot? That can actually cause an issue, too, because remember, when I show you how close the rectum is to everything, you know, the rectum sits right behind your prostate. Right. And the rectum sits right behind your prostate that sits at the base of your erection. So if you're staying constipated and there's a ball of boo-boo sitting behind there, well, that can interfere with things, too. So making sure that your bowels are moving regularly, making sure that you, sometimes it's even putting a probiotic on board to make sure that the bacteria are functioning in the right way. And then, of course, there's making sure that your body is not malnourished. I find my biggest malnourished patients are the ones who are strictly vegan or strictly meat, you know, strictly keto with the meat and strictly vegan with all types of vegetables and soy products and all of that. I like for people to meet somewhere in the middle. I feel as though keto is very helpful to get you to a point, and then you want to integrate some form of intermittent fasting or fasting with the concepts of keto still involved, but not being so hardcore keto, because honestly, green leafy vegetables, that's our main source of nitrates. And remember, we need the nitrates to make the nitric oxide, to make the blood vessels dilate all through the body, your kidneys, your erections, your heart, your blood pressure, everything. So focusing on how can you make more nitric oxide in your body has got to be at the top of mind. When you're focusing on ED. So I hope that helps you. Your question, VK Banks, is really focusing on all of those things and making sure that they're all tweaked, and the rest will follow. And then, of course, you can do things like pumping. You know, my favorite is the Vaxaid, because it uses water. So whenever you go into rehab, if you've ever had the unfortunate incident to have to go through rehab or physical therapy, one of the things that they use is heat, right? They you notice they put these hot, moist towels on before they start doing things. Massages, they go, they put heat, maybe hot stones before they start massaging. So part of the process of pumping, for guys who don't have a hydro pump and aren't using warm water, you want to just take a nice warm towel and put it on the tissue, because now what we're about to do with pumping is stretching, right? So we're stretching the tissue. So if we make it warm and pliable meaning stretchier, then, you know, we have an added therapeutic benefit, right? Oh, how do I treat prostatic calcification? This is a great question, Ilyes Adwali. Now, if you can, now, you don't have to massage your prostate yourself. There are professionals that practice prostatic massage and that are really good at it. Prostate massage doesn't have to be a sexual thing. For a lot of people, it's not. It is really a way to clear out the ducts, to clear out the stones, and to clear out pathways. So that's great. Hey, Carolyn Mack. And thank you for that. Okay, so VK Banks, he's doing beetroot, which is helping the pathway, the oral pathway of nitrates, and he's doing L-citrulline. Now, L-citrulline needs to be with L-arginine, so that's one thing that you want to do, VK, is look for a supplement or even just combine L-citrulline and L-arginine together and do the beetroot. So now you are boosting your nitric oxide in two different ways. But what you also have to keep in mind, and this goes back to our conversation about mouthwash, is that you have to have the right bacteria in your mouth in order for that beetroot to be activated. And once it hits your stomach or your gut, you need to have an acidic environment. So making sure that you're not on like Prilosec or Zantac or anything like that for reflux, because that will block the acid that will block the nitrates from being activated to a form that can actually be ingested. So if you have ED and you've had ED for a while, you can't just supplement nitric oxide. You have to repair the tissue. You have to get in there and realize that over time, your erections are supposed to be getting stiff at night, 4 and 5 times a night. And when that starts to fall off, your erections just start to get weak. It's just like anything else. If we do 100 push-ups every day and we've been doing them for 5 years, you know, we're swole. And then if you stop doing those push-ups, well, everything starts to shrink back up. Well, it's the same. Once those nocturnal erections stop happening as much, then it means that your erections aren't getting as much exercise. They aren't getting as much blood flow. So now, what happens when you don't get blood flow? I want you to think about a sponge, right? So if you take a natural sponge and you douse it in water, it's so soft and it's so pliable. And you take that same sponge, you haven't used it for 2 weeks. You go back to that sponge, what is it doing? It's kind of crumbling, it's stiff, it's hard. That is the perfect example of what happens when your erections, the erectile tissue does not get bathed in blood flow regularly. That's the perfect example. So now what do we have to do for the sponge that has turned all, you know, like crispy? Now we need to wet it again to kind of rejuvenate it. So what you're actually doing when you're taking and rejuvenating the tissue, whether you're doing a pump plus a shockwave, maybe you've decided to get P shots, what have you, you have to work on the tissue. You can't just work on the nitric oxide production. Because it'll just give you minimal results. If you want full stream results, you've got to work on the tissue. Okay. So VK, if you're suffering from ED and you're really having an issue with it, get a pump. It doesn't have to be the Vaxate. The link to the Vaxate is below. Anything I talk about here that I, there's something called affiliate programs that if I talk about it and you decide to get it, use my links because I get a small commission that helps kind of keep the channel going. So VK, you want to consider pumping and you want to consider even shockwave. There's a difference between shockwave at home and shockwave at the doctor's clinic. If you have mild to moderate ED, you know, or just want to enhance things, doing it at home is just fine. But if you have moderate to severe ED, you want to combine Shockwave with a professional. You don't want to do it at home because your at-home device isn't going to be as strong as our in-clinic devices, okay? How do I feel about nitric oxide supplements? I'm a fan of nitric oxide supplements. As a matter of fact, I want to be clear, though, that we cannot supplement nitric oxide in a way of there's nothing we can take to give us nitric oxide. But what we can do is take supplements that are going to support our body's pathway and our body's ability to make nitric oxide. Does that make sense? Like, there's no nitric oxide supplement, but there are nitric oxide boosting supplements. And I put a couple of my favorite ones below. You know, there are different ones. Like, so if it's a patient of mine or someone I can recommend to, there's a professional product that my friend Gianni turned me on to. Gianni, if you are watching this, he's actually a practitioner who really trained me in Shockwave. And he's amazing. I mean, he can do so many amazing things with that Shockwave. But he also, you know, is this really fun, loving, you know, guy who's, you know, up in age a little bit. And so he called me one day and he said, Dr. Ross, Dr. Rachel, you've got to take a look at this stuff. He's like, I've tried all types of things, you know. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this. He's like, but this product is not only has me running around feeling like I'm so damn young, but also this product has really changed my sex drive and my sex life. So I'm like, send it over. So, you know, after some months of him keep, you know, prodding me like, Doc, you got to take a look, sit in on this webinar. I actually got some of it and had some guys that are close to me try it. I usually do that before I actually unleash it to my patients. And it's amazing. It's called Berkeley Life. And they don't necessarily sell it to consumers, but they distribute it through professionals like nurse practitioners and physicians. This stuff's amazing. I also am a fan of Human Ends NeoPro 40. Only thing about it is I don't like that they use artificial flavors. They use artificial sweeteners. So, but other than that, I think it's a really great product. It does amazing things. Now, those two support the oral pathway. The other two that I like something called Citronox. And that's kind of a professional grade supplement too. It's got L-citrulline, it's got L-arginine, and it's designed to help boost nitric oxide. So I use that a lot in my practice. And actually, VigRx makes a pretty good over-the-counter or non-professional grade L-citrulline and L-arginine. So some of those links I think I put below. So check that out. But I am a huge fan of nitric oxide supporting products. Remember, there's no such thing as something we can take to boost nitric oxide immediately, but there are things that we can do to support those pathways. Other things to improve nitric oxide. Breathing through our nose. If you find yourself being a mouth breather, you got to figure out a way to keep that mouth shut because this nitric oxide pathway through the nasal passages is amazing. That's why I honestly think that's why yoga and relaxation strategies work so much is because we're using this precious landscape in our nasal passages. It's actually erectile tissue to bring in oxygen and help create more nitric oxide. So that's one thing, making sure you're breathing through your nose and very deeply and trying to avoid becoming a mouth breather. This is even important when you're sleeping. If you suspect that you're sleeping with your mouth open, you're waking up, your mouth's dry, everybody's talking about your snoring, you need to talk to your doctor. Is this sleep apnea? What's happening? And they actually sell adult mouth tape, which forces you to breathe through your nose at night so that you can continue this process of making as much nitric oxide as possible. Taking a mouth breather and turning them into a nose breather helps on so many levels. It helps with blood pressure. It helps with erectile function. These little tweaks make huge differences. And if you start to understand the science, you'll start to understand why it makes such a big difference. So that's my spiel on nitric oxide. Another thing, if you're smoking, if you're a cigarette smoker, I mean, That's the worst thing that you could possibly do for erectile function and nitric oxide production. So one thing that I know is that if I have a patient who is smoking, I just tell them flat up, there's really not a whole lot we can do until you stop smoking, because nitric oxide production is so low and so minimal that we can do all types of things. You can pay this and pay that for this and that, but it's really not going to have the impact that it should. But if you stop smoking, we can really start to repair endothelial function. So if you're a smoker, you got to stop. Folic acid, calcium, vitamin C, vitamin E, those all actually too support the process of nitric oxide release. So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share a clip from a recent episode I did with Josh Deck.
I've always been interested in health. I got into sports and fitness when I was in my early teens, and I actually became a paramedic. It was my first career. And my goal, I wanted to be a flight medic. I wanted to be a critical care medic. But after I graduated, I got into working, and I was only there for about a year, and I thought, like, something doesn't add up. I picked up the same people time and time again for the same conditions week over week. There was heart attacks or chest pain or some generally unwell, they would call it. And until one day, these people stopped calling, because that one issue just kept precipitating and going until they just, I imagine, died and could no longer actually pick up the phone. And so something wasn't quite right. Through an interesting chain of events, I ended up leaving my career, got into fitness, became a personal trainer full time. And one of my clients I was working with, she came to see me. She was 57 years old. Her name was Lynn. And it was so good. We actually made a mini documentary about her. It's just, I mean, mini, like 6-8 minutes. Yeah. But the short was, she was taking 17 pills and insulin for breakfast, 9 pills and insulin for bedtime. She slept with a CPAP machine, had high blood pressure, borderline CHF. She was on the disability list at work. Like, you name it, she had something going on. After 2 years of working together, we fixed her food, her nutrition, got her exercising, worked in some basic gut stuff.
Yeah.
Age 59, this woman went from the disability list at work and 30 plus pills a day and medications. She broke her first world record as a weightlifter in the raw division as a powerlifter.
Wow. And was off of all those medications, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Off everything.
And off except of everything.
There was 2 meds she had to take because she had a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass done, but that was it. And so she, this radical transformation, I thought there's more to this.
If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. So then I have a question, and I don't know if I took a picture of it to share with you, but this is the last question of the day. It's actually about Peyronie's. So Peyronie's, for those of you who don't know, is basically when your penis starts to get an abnormal curvature. If you can imagine a penis that's kind of abnormally curved this way or curved up or curved to the side, I see that one a lot, lateral curvature, that's basically what tends to happen. And it usually starts out where one day you look and you notice a small curve, and then as time goes by, you start to notice that it's swerving a little more. And then, unfortunately, for some guys, it's actually a painful thing. So it interferes with sex life. It interferes with erectile function. And, and then it becomes an insecurity, you know, because every time you look down, you see it. And so I feel for guys who are suffering with Peyronie's, and I got a message in my inbox about it. So a few things about Peyronie's that I want to make clear. There is something out there that urologists and your doctors may try to get you to take called Xiaflex. And what that is collagenase. And it's basically something you put on the area that's designed to dissolve collagen. So it's designed to dissolve the collagen fibers, which have become thick, which have created a plaque, which makes everything curve, right? I'm not a fan of Xiaflex because I've seen some, you know, negative outcomes with it, because it's collagenase. So it's also breaking up the collagen in your skin. So you know, I've seen hematomas develop and I'm just not a huge fan of it. But what I am a fan of in terms of the science and practicality, it is one, we know for a fact, there was a study done where they studied guys who had Peyronie's. And what they did is they had them pump. Now, this is a lot of pumping. 10 minutes twice a day for 16 weeks. And what they did at the end of the study is they actually measured to see how much it straightened out, how much the curve was and everything. And the results of the study were phenomenal. Guys' curves straightened out. The ones that didn't, some of them opted to get surgery, but the ones that did, and I want to say it was about 60 to 70% of them straightened out, they were comfortable and happy enough with the changes that they didn't go through with the surgery to remove the plaque. So that's one thing. Another thing is the P shot. What we're doing when we're doing a P shot is we're taking your own plasma and spinning it out and getting the plasma-rich protein, and we are depositing that PRP into the plaque, into the area where the scarring has taken place to over time dissolve it. So we see how one P shot goes, then we come back 6 weeks later and maybe do another P shot. And then you can sometimes need up to three P shots along with the pump. You got to still do the pump. And with my protocol, I actually use traction because here's the thing. We can break the plaque up a lot. I use shockwave and traction. We can break up the plaque underneath it because what's happening is it's scar tissue underneath the skin. So we use the shockwave to break up the plaque. We can use the P-shot to help facilitate the process of healing with the plaque. And we use the pump, and the pump is basically kind of stretching it out every time because if you notice, if you've used your pump, it creates this vacuum suction. So it's kind of sucking it into the right direction. The problem is with some guys, though, is that when they put that the pump on, it pulls it into the wrong direction. And instead of correcting it, it actually can sometimes make it worse. So you have to make sure that it is pulling the erection in the area that you want to straighten out, right? So if it's like this, you want it pulling up like this. Then the other part of that is if a guy can tolerate it, I give him some traction. And he wears this, you know, for about, we start out for 30 minutes a day. And so gradually the concept is if we can get him to wear an extender for 4 to 6 hours a day, then what we're actually doing is during the day, he's got something that's pulling the traction. So imagine if you're curved like this, then what the traction is doing is taking that curve and straightening it out, but you got to wear it throughout the day, right? So some guys say they're uncomfortable. Some say they don't notice it. It really just kind of depends. And this is usually like a silicone medical grade band on it. It's just kind of stretching it out. So honestly, combining all of those things are the best way to treat Peyronie's and being patient because you start to see the changes gradually with Peyronie's and you start to see it straightening up in 3 to 6 months out from beginning. And I always say, try this conservative process first before you go under the knife for surgery, right? And so this one that I always recommend if we're going to be doing this is the Pro Extender. And I've put a link below for that. A lot of guys use this for lengthening, you know, to try to make it their penises longer. I mean, it's elastic tissue. I want you to think about your penis like you think about your earlobe. You've seen people, you know, stretch their earlobes out super far and super wide, right? Because it's elastic tissue. You can do the same with your erection. There are whole communities molding and reshaping their erection. The whole process of jelking and deer exercises have been used historically in ancient cultures to shape, remodel, and reshape the head of the penis and reshape the penis in ways that they found suited women. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of different things that can be done so that when you hear people saying, I have a cream that's going to make it bigger or I have a thing, well, if there's no manual stuff involved with it, if there's no pumping or stretching involved with it or surgery, I really don't see how any of that stuff's going to work. So before you send me about some supplement you saw that's going to make it bigger, if you're not doing any type of mechanical traction, weight loss, surgery, you know, those are the things that can make you a little bigger and thicker. Nowadays, though, we do have cosmetic penis therapies, right? You know, it makes sense, right? We got cosmetic breast stuff. We got cosmetic stuff for guys where they're actually, some doctors will put fillers in and to help it look thicker. You know, so there's a lot of that going on too. So there are solutions for those of you who feel like it's so small and, you know, it's really chipping away at your life. There are doctors out there that will enhance without you necessarily having to do a major surgery. I don't do that because I really don't like the idea of fillers being in penile tissue, because long term, I'm not convinced that that's going to be a positive. Okay, please explain, how do I do a prostate massage? Great. So for those of you who've gotten my bundle, you know that I ship it with a prostate massager, right? Now, this is just a basic prostate massager. Some people call it a prostate probe. But if you notice, it's kind of tilted and angled this way, right? So if you're inserting this into your anus, what you're actually doing is you're aiming this towards the prostate. So you're not aiming this away like towards your back. You're actually aiming it towards your stomach when you're inserting it, right? So you're going to insert it, and I'll tell you how to do one that you don't have to insert to, because there are more than one way to skin a cat, right? So when you insert this, what you're actually doing, then I want you to clamp down like you're doing a dick up or a PC flex. Because what you're doing when you're doing that is you are then causing this to rotate up and like that. That's what's happening as you're clamping down and doing your exercise. So that's one way. Another way to do it is to actually manually kind of go back and forth side to side. This is the internal prostate massage. Now, if you start to take a prostate massage, then getting a massage that actually vibrates and puts sonic vibrations through the prostate is going to be the way to go, because what's happening, if you can hear that, these are sound waves and vibrations. And what the vibrations do is they actually can kind of spread out and help impact not just the prostate, but the nerves behind the prostate and the seminal vesicle and all that area that I showed you. So that's how we're going to do the internal massage, right? Now, if we're going to do an external massage, you want to take whether you can actually even get a tennis ball, right? Like a soft tennis ball. And you can actually put it on your chair and kind of roll back and forth on it. Put your weight down on it and roll back and forth. Because then what you're doing is you're massaging the perineum. So you're massaging the prostate externally. Now, this is another external prostate massager that actually you would take and put on the area of the prostate externally, and you would just kind of massage it back and forth externally, not internally, so you don't have to put this one in your anus. And what this is doing is sending pressure and vibration up through the perineum and up past the bulb of the penis and all the way up through the prostate. So just to give you a visual of what that looks like again, let me see. This is a good picture to put up here. Now, so this is a little cutaway of the prostate, right? So I showed you that one. You know, this big thing sitting on top is the bladder. Underneath it, this is the heart-shaped thing. That's actually the prostate. But if you look to the top, the images up top, what they're showing you are kind of cutaways. If you were to take a cadaver and saw it down the middle, right? Just saw it down the middle and fillet it open, the model open, and then this is what you see. So if you look here, you can see how if you're outside of the body, you can actually still massage the prostate externally. As a matter of fact, back in the late 1800s, if a guy was having erectile issues or prostate issues, the doctor would prescribe for him to go horseback riding so that he could bounce up and down on the saddle so that he could actually massage the perineum and ultimately the prostate to kind of clear things up. So that's great. Oh, I love that, John. I love it. It's working for me. I love that. Absolutely. Hi, Dr. Rachel. I got my prostate checked. I'm good. So, you know, I hear that a lot. I want you to ask all your practitioners, not if your prostate is enlarged, but how enlarged is it? And then I want you to go off your symptoms. If you have any symptoms like decreased ejaculate, decreased urine output, you have to push it out when you go to start. You know, it hesitating, dribbling, having a full bladder, getting up more than once a night to urinate, anything like that, then those are prostate issues until proven different. But that's what we say. I used to do the same thing. Check prostate, say it looks good, feels good. But if you have ED and you're having any erection issues, then we've got to think about the prostate in a different way. Okay. Awesome, David. I love this. Oh, and thank you. I'm looking good today. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just got my hair done. Thank you. Is there a formula for determining how much L-arginine and L-citrulline to take based off of your weight? There isn't a formula, and L-arginine and L-citrulline are part of this herbal community that's kind of unregulated. So you've got to be very conscious about trying to get a supplement that's actually from a quality, reputable place, from a reputable manufacturer and things like that. And then I always say any supplements that you get, the people who make them are trying to sell supplements. So they'll say, take two twice a day. Well, you want to start out with one once a day and you want to see how that works. So you want to do that for at least 3 to 5 days. Then you can up to one twice a day. But rarely do I go up to the max and have anybody on exactly what the back of the bottle says, because sometimes that's absolutely overkill. So that's great. Any guidance for hard flaccid syndrome and penile pain? Sure. Now, if you have penile pain, then oftentimes what that is undiagnosed Peyronie's, the thing we were just talking about. And I find that guys who have little areas of their penis that are painful to touch, what we'll do is put a little lidocaine cream on first. Lidocaine numbs the skin. And then we will institute some shockwave. Now, it sounds counterproductive, right? Doctor, they're already in pain. Now you're going to put that shockwave on there. Well, yes, because what we're doing with the shockwave is we are kind of reprogramming the nerves. We're reprogramming the nerves and the blood flow. And honestly, by visit 2, I see a major reduction in penile pain in guys who come in. Because oftentimes what you can do is if you have penile pain, just take while your penis is flaccid or not erect and just start to push on it and see if you can locate a little nodule or a little thick area underneath the tissue. And that is Peyronie's until proven otherwise. Peyronie's doesn't always manifest as a curve. Oftentimes it just shows up as pain, right? So I want to keep you to keep that in mind. Boxing and barbecue. Great. What is the best pump? So honestly, I feel like any pump will get you there. Most of the clinical trials that I've seen had a good old generic pump. Any pump will get you there. But my favorite, the one I like for my patients to use, is the Vaxane. And the main reason I like it is because it's a little more comfortable than some of the other pumps. You can use it in the bathtub. You can use it in the shower. But it incorporates water. And to me, the warm water adds this added benefit that I wasn't seeing when guys were using the other pumps. One of the benefits that I find is two to three weeks in, guys are like, hey, doc, I feel like I'm getting bigger and thicker here. Is this what happens? And for some guys, that is what happens. But if you think about it, it makes sense, right? If you applied suction to your arm and sucked on your arm all day long, you would look at the end of the day and it would be swollen and puffy. You know, it'd be puffed up. It'd be plump. Well, this is a very similar process. You know, like if we put a suction cup on our lips and just let it sit there for 10 minutes after you finish, your lips are all plumped up. So it makes sense that pumping plumps things up a little bit. Oh, that's my alarm. telling me it's time to wrap up. So definitely. So my favorite is the Vaxate. I got the links below if you decide to use it. Someone asked me the other day, what's the difference between this and other water pumps? I mean, probably the main difference with this one is it actually comes with a hand pump too. So for days that you can't use water, you can actually hand pump it too. But also it allows you to use water and air at the same time. That's a bit of a difference than some of the others. But then also, which I thought was really cool when I first learned about the Vaxate is, you know, so I encourage guys to do it in the shower. I'm like, just bring it in the shower with you, fill it up, use it, put it on, you know, get it and then get it to hold suction and then wash your body, right? Or, and so what it comes with, it actually comes with a neck strap that allows it to just, you know, cause if you can imagine you put it on there, you think it's going to stick. And then what happens is just gravity might fall off. Well, the little neck strap just kind of supports it so that it just kind of supports it while you can continue the other parts of your body that you want to wash. You can wash your hair. You can wash under your arms without it just falling off and hitting the floor. I also like it because it comes with this really cool case that you lock. And it, you know, it has a lock on it so that if someone finds it, they're not like, hoo, 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 look at this. Look what I found. It's discreet. You know, like they could find the case if they want to, but they don't necessarily know what's in it because you have a combination lock on it. And for people who want to be discreet, I think that's important because, two, you know, you get sloppy. You use it in the shower. You've been using it. You might leave it in the shower on the side if you have company or, you know, the cleaning lady or the cleaning man comes through and they're just like, oh, you know. So I'm a discreet person myself. So I just imagine that if you have this, sometimes you want it hidden and out of sight. And I love that it comes with the case, you know, that you can lock. I love it. Okay, can I speak to pumping and blood thinners? Yeah, if you are on blood thinners, you shouldn't be pumping. If you have sickle cell, you shouldn't be pumping. I shouldn't say that. If you are on blood thinners, you should ask your doctor before you pump, you know. But ginkgo biloba is a blood thinner. There are a lot of natural blood thinners too. You know, believe it or not, eating a lot of pineapple can thin the blood out some too. So keeping in mind that everything that we put in the body has outcomes and purpose to it, you've got to kind of decide if this is going to be right for you. If you are on anything that could potentially thin the blood out, then you might have some bruising or you might create a hematoma, which would actually likely go away, but still you want to know that that's possible. And you can end up with hematuria or blood in the urine. Thank you for listening to Gimme an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Rachel Institute, win prizes, and so much more. The details are in the show notes below. And if you want more from me, check me out on social media and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Until next week, live free and go hard.